show. But I pulled a boner. I did it again. WJFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Come on, everyone. That 80s Enough reunion show is about to start.
Well, Mary, have you seen Nicholas?
He's up in his room sulking, Dad.
Yeah, he's still upset because Abby threw out his baseball cards.
Oh, well, maybe I should make him a sandwich.
Oh, Dad, that's your solution to everything.
Dad! Dad!
What?
8 is enough.
You know, I love you girls.
I want to thank Don and Mike I had a lot of fun here. And I didn't travel 3,000 miles to watch you lose, so that's why you won.
All right.
But I want to thank all of you for supporting the Children's Hospital. It's a very, very good cause, and it'll make us all much happier. Incidentally, Don and Mike, I think you're terrific on the radio. You have great wit and great energy, and you're fun to listen to. And I don't know how you do it for 3 or 4 hours like that and keep it going with that pace. You're really terrific, and I appreciate it. Everybody, have a good summer.
Thank you, Dick Van Patten. Thanks a lot, Dick.
The Don and Mike
Mike.
Show.
Yeah.
Mike was so.
I'm on my second beer.
Hey, stop it now.
More like my fourth.
Still out there.
All right. This would probably be a good time for a bowel movement.
Absolutely.
Well, there's no way we're playing Steely Dan on this last show. Yeah. That was the wrong cut.
Peg.
Nix that.
My. Pardon.
The Don and Mike Show.
Now we're rocking.
Nah.
Now we're rocking.
All right. Hey, a little quiet for Super Jock.
Goodbye.
Yeah! Uh-huh. Hi, Reach.
I'm responsible for Ada Lincoln.
See ya so long.
That is so true, Dick.
It's where Joe Ardinger got his start. Huh? The Don and Mike Show.
Joe.
Right. It smells like a bunch of farts got in a fight.
Vagina!
Thank you, Dave.
All right. Looks like baby vomit.
This is the final Don and Mike Show of all time. The brand new Mike O'Mara Show starts Monday on a lot of these same stations. So, you know, don't be an ass. Listen.
Okay? Don't be an ass. Hey, how did you get our slogan?
Don't be an ass. Listen. Listens to Mike's show. Give him lots of good ratings.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, I need them now more than ever.
Make everything good. Hi there, Buzz.
Hi.
How the heck are you?
I'm doing all right.
Well, let's see, Buzz Burbank. Out of everybody in this room, I've known you the longest.
That's true. We've been through a lot together.
Yes, we have. Much like Rob, right. Buzz. Now, you know, I categorized people. Right. I didn't mean to imply that you were not my friend.
No, I didn't think of that.
You are a good friend, a close friend, and have been for over 25 years. Buzz is my broadcast buddy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got three unique relationships with the guys on this show. Rob, as I mentioned, you know, just a best friend, like goofing around. Mike, really like my brother. Mm-hmm. And Buzz is the guy that I would talk to with broadcasting stuff.
Yeah. Letterman to everything, radio, whatever.
Yeah. I would often run past stuff past Buzz.
How far do you guys go back? Is it Chicago? Is that when you first started working together?
83, 84.
82.
80, really?
Late,
wow.
1982.
Wow.
Yeah, even I remember, God, one of the best voices that Mike ever did was I was watching that Empire Carpet guy, and I remember saying to Buzz, you know, I should tell Mike to do that. That would be killer. And so I run it by Buzz, not knowing what Mike's going to do, just thinking we're going to make him like a perverted guy. And I loved that, Buzz, being able to run stuff off you.
Yeah, fine.
And Buzz would go, oh, that sounds killer. Then come in, and this was the magic of the show, just saying to Mike, hey, guess what?
Mm-hmm.
That Empire Carpet guy, just make him creepy, whatever you want to do. I mean, it turns out we could never do it again because they almost canceled the account.
Yeah.
Yes.
Sadly.
You know, you might be aware of this. They do a significant amount of advertising.
But it was always my pleasure to.
They didn't like that thing about the shallow graves.
Always my pleasure to talk about broadcasting with Buzz.
Me too.
Been a friend for a long time, going all the way back to Chicago, as Mike mentioned, where we had been through ups and downs that led to ups and downs that you and I went through, Mike. Stuff with the idiot program director,
Buddy Scott, yeah.
Screaming at us and to be unhappy that we were friends, like we're friends now. I mean, he didn't get the fact that when people work together, if they enjoy each other's company,
they hang out.
That's a good thing.
Right.
You saved my ass on more than one occasion, especially back then, when I would be walking on a tightrope with no delay
right.
and quite often would take unscreened phone calls when I was not allowed to, and on more than one time had Buzz just have to save my ass because I would just have a caller dying and the record's running out and we got to go play the jingle that says it's time for the weather and I've got a newscast that I missed, and Buzz would on more than one occasion virtually eat the bullet, you know, go to the program director and say, no, it's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just sit there and go, hey, you're right.
And that was fun.
And it was.
It really was.
It was
fun because he would be that upset.
And we were sticking it to the man, which is what we did, and that was fun.
And you're a great pro. And
the most unflappable guy in this building, there's no doubt about it. I mean, a guy that deals with everything we throw at him, and he doesn't blink, and he hasn't blinked forever. It's
wouldn't
fantastic.
Trade it.
And I respect you because as the time is doled out on this radio show, between me flapping my gums and Mike talking, and God knows Rob has talked excessively over the years. Quite often it would come down to Buzz's news, and a lot of people would think that Mike and I would cut Buzz off, that we were jumping, railroading his segments. We're just trying to make the show listenable
yeah.
so that it wasn't a straight news presentation.
Right.
The one thing, and I hope you, I know you will continue to give Buzz this leeway, is that the news that Buzz presents is Buzz's news from Buzz's point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And he and I came to an understanding 5-6 years ago where I was going to stop babysitting the news and say, you know, let's hear what's coming up today. Finally just said to him, whatever you think is best. However, know that if you do a story and a fact is wrong or Mike and I just wholeheartedly disagree,
right.
we're going to come after you.
Sure.
And rather than say, oh, no, I'll do it the safe way, Buzz embraced the fact to write his own material.
Absolutely.
And quite often you wrote funny stuff. A lot of people think that your stuff went unnoticed by Mike and I.
No.
It did not go unnoticed by I.
I knew that.
By us. By
you know,
I.
I think the world knows you have an agenda, Mr. Burbank.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
But
it's a fun agenda. And, you know, you're passionate about certain issues. You're passionate about certain causes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've busted your chops about that. But, you know, I think in any business, in anything for that matter, professional, you want consistency. And Buzz is consistent each and every day. He truly is.
In a world where people change a lot, you don't change.
Not much. No.
I was looking at a photo album with Jan the other night, and I know we've mentioned these pictures before, but they are truly hilarious. From 1982, when I took Buzz to a Packers game in Milwaukee.
Right.
And these pictures show
Buzz
this
not the biggest sports fan in the world.
Right.
It looks like a hippie that's been dropped into the middle of a sporting event.
Right.
And really, the look on his face says, I'm trying to have a good time.
Where am I? What
but,
am I doing
but
here?
But really, what you were saying to me really was, when can we leave and go get high?
you could tell.
That was the truth. But I loved doing those types of things with you, Buzz. That as much as I would socialize with Rob and with Mike, Buzz and Marcia for a long time, mm-hmm. especially when Frieda was alive, were our go-to couple. And it was a chance to let down our hair and talk about things and say things that we knew would not be repeated. And
right.
for that, I thank you. You're a good friend. You're a great broadcaster, and I wish you nothing but the best, and I love you.
Well, I love you, too. I don't even know where to start. The challenges that we've faced together over the years, I think, have made me a better broadcaster. Watching you guys has made me a better broadcaster. Someday that will become apparent, I think. And it's been a lot of fun. We've had a lot of great talks. I remember all the fun we had all the way back to Chicago. You remember the time we lifted the Volkswagen? Talked about the time we hung out with.
Now, when you say lifted the Volkswagen, are you talking about stealing it?
No. The car was parked in a place it shouldn't have been parked.
Sloppily parked, and because it was a Volkswagen.
That's back in the early days when you boys were weightlifters,
right?
That's right.
We actually picked it up by the bumper and moved it.
We just picked it up and moved it.
Mm-hmm.
Were you high?
Yes.
I thought we were on our way.
Back then, every day we were.
Either way.
We had a 6 a.m. meeting in the stairwells at CBS.
Now, we've had a lot of great talks, and we've spent a lot of time together. Like I said, been through a lot together, and I really have learned a lot. You have taught me so much, both on and off the air. I can never thank you enough for that. I can never thank you enough for the entire ride.
You know,
it's been great.
There's a moment that I will never forget about Buzz that when we were up there 9/11, and you know, we don't talk about it a lot.
No,
the fact that we were on the air when both towers came down up in New York City, mm-hmm. and we were broadcasting from the studios at WNEW. And all I remember is what people asked me when I came back, and they said, "What were you thinking about?" And I said, "I was thinking about my own ass."
Yeah,
and we all were. We were thinking about the fact that, you know, they'd hit the Pentagon.
Under attack.
They'd hit the financial district, mm-hmm. and then they were going to hit media next.
Right.
And we were in the same building as the all-news station, and we said, you know, all the creaks that we would hear and the bangs. It was a nervous time. I think, sure. I don't know, how many hours were we on the air that day?
Oh, that first day, like 10 hours.
Yeah, we were on all day, it seemed like. And mm-hmm. Buzz and I, this was not a marijuana cigarette, I should say, but the other kind.
Sure, Mike.
Out in the stairwell.
Yes.
You and I.
Right.
That's the only place we could go.
Chain smoke.
It's just chain smoke. You know, mm-hmm. We would rotate, right, because we weren't taking commercial breaks, and we would rotate, and everybody would run out and do whatever. And I'll never forget that because, I mean, Buzz was handling that, and it really reinforced to me what you're capable of doing. And because, I mean, that day, more than any other, you're sitting there trying to get it from the wire service, from the two TV monitors, you know, people calling on the phone, and you handled it, and it was superlative.
And we were not from New York, Chuck.
Right, right,
we
really right.
didn't know our way around town beyond our hotel or the apartment we leased at to the radio station. About that day, that was an awful day for America, but I remember something. I'm very proud of our show in this regard. When I got the phone call from Jeremy, another one of the fabulous gays we've had working on this show.
You okay, Mike?
I will miss the fact that he always says something like that when I have a mouthful of water.
It's timing.
Right.
He called me up and said, "Listen, the second plane has hit the World Trade Center. You know, get your ass down here."
Yeah.
And I don't even know if you remember this or not, Mike. We were in Ken Stevens' office.
I remember it vividly.
And I walked in, and I said not pompously, because at that point we didn't really know what was happening yet. We didn't know that it was terrorists. We didn't know that thousands of people were dead.
Right.
We just knew that something happened with planes going into buildings. And I remember going into Ken, and there was that lady from WISP.
Mm-hmm.
They were having a meeting, and the meeting was stopped. And I walked out, I said, "This is an awful thing to say at this time. But with these guys that I've got, we can handle this right now. You should put us on the air.
This is the team that should be on the air.
Put us on right now because we can handle it."
And we did.
And we did.
Mm-hmm.
And you were a big part of that, Buzz. We've had a lot of stuff. I mean, take away the tragedy of losing Frida, which was something that I dealt with on the show. We've had a lot of situations come up where we've had to get serious, for all the way from the Challenger to this 9/11 crap to the sniper in D.C.
Yes.
And Buzz has always been our go-to when it gets serious. And for that, I thank you as well.
Well, I thank you.
And Mike's right. On 9/11, it was at an awful time for America. You rose to the occasion, and it was a good time for our show. And I don't mean a good time like a jolly good time.
No.
I mean a time that I'm proudest of.
I am extraordinarily proud of that. I'm extraordinarily proud of the the space shuttle show that we did that day, because, I mean, you're talking about a type of radio that's done, and suddenly you have to switch gears immediately.
Yeah.
Because nobody's making jokes at that point. You're dealing with really what the medium in its infancy was meant to do.
Horrible.
You know, inform and you know, get the word out. And we did that. We didn't do just one show.
No.
Did all those shows that week up in New York City. I'll never forget that. I'll never forget how close we all became. At least that's the way I felt. Particular time, we were driving out of New York City.
What about when we drove back into D.C. when we saw the tanks by the Pentagon? And we had not seen any of that because we had been in New York, and we had thought when we came back home that things would be normal.
Mm-hmm. Well, I see, it's funny because when you say that, I kind of go the opposite direction. I came out. We got out of New York City with a town car. We weren't able to get a train. We weren't able to get a plane. That's the only way we could get out was to hire a car to take us out. And I remember going through the Lincoln Tunnel, and we were so goofy because we had been logging a lot of hours. But we all looked, and we simultaneously, and I don't know if you remember this, Buzz,
yes,
we looked at the skyline.
Yeah.
And, you know, that skyline, which was just the most dramatic thing I've ever gone through. And, you know, we all experienced that together. We were there. Weren't we planning on coming back, going up, doing two shows, coming back, Tuesday and Wednesday, and coming back Wednesday night?
Stayed the whole week up
and
there.
And we stayed the whole week up there. And I'll never forget how I was incredibly proud of everybody on this broadcast. Yeah. You know, it's moments like that.
That was the real teamwork. I mean, that was a moment of real teamwork. It existed through the entire life of the show, but that particular week, we were tight.
We've got a news operation straight up above us that's got every resource known to mankind. They're not sharing it with us. We're doing it with smoke and mirrors.
We did as well or better than they did.
And we did. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, weaving the phone calls in on that, too. I became very aware, not that I wasn't before, of everybody's professionalism. I knew, you know, Don and I always prided ourselves on one thing, that when the event would come down, when there'd be the show that we had to rally for because the suits were in town or anything, those were always the best shows that we did. Yeah, it was always that way, and that never changed through 20-plus years. And, you know, you're a big part of that too, Buzz. And,
well, I appreciate that. We're all professional broadcasters, and I couldn't have had the opportunity to perform that function if it hadn't been for this show and the profile that the show has given me. Don, you have, although I feel I have a moderate amount of talent, you've made a career possible for me. And your support, yours and Mike's, but yours in particular, has meant more to me than you can possibly know. And I want to just a final word to people who didn't get the interruptions in the news. That was to entertain people and to keep it interesting and to give it texture, and it did. And I couldn't have filled that time without it. And it did. It did make it interesting and it did make it fun. And ever since the mid-80s, radio stations haven't even been required to have news. So the fact that I'm doing news on a comedy show is not only rare, but it's a privilege and an honor. And every minute I got was bonus for me. And I thank you for it.
And we thank you for always being a pro. And I'll miss you, Buzz.
I'll miss you.
I'll miss you. And, you know.
Very much.
Don't be a stranger.
No, you either.
You and Marsha always welcome.
Thank you.
Now, off you go.
All right.
See you Monday.
Godspeed.
Frankly, I thought it was rather pitchy.
I didn't really think that he finished it as strongly as he began it.
I didn't think
it was kind of cabaret.
I didn't think his choice of farewell speeches was perhaps the best. You know, you might want to think about that, Buzz.
I think that's the kind of farewell speech you would hear on any cruise ship. I heard wrong.
Boo.
I heard it. I'm talking.
Boo.
I'm talking.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Shut up.
Oh, or his latest that I just had to mention to you. Sorry.
No, you know, he's
his new thing is sorry when he gets done lambasting somebody.
No, he's
sorry.
Not, though. Did you see it 2 weeks ago when one of those jive questions, the phone-in question?
Oh, why does he say he's sorry?
Why do you say you're sorry before you tell somebody?
Well, I'm going to stop now. Sorry.
Sorry.
Yes.
And Jimmy Kimmel, I like Jay Leno.
That's his big comeback.
Yeah, way to sock Jimmy Kimmel in the balls, huh?
That was the only funny part. Jimmy Kimmel was on fire.
Hey, look at that now. It's just you and me now.
Just like it's always been.
Just you and me.
Just like it's always been.
All right, Buzz.
Starting in a hotel room in Annapolis, Maryland with Smokey Rivers and Alan Goodman.
Many hotel rooms, Mike.
Many, many hotel rooms over the years.
Do you remember the Holiday Inn by Andrews Air Force Base?
I remember that like it was yesterday. I remember that. That was a double special day.
Do you remember the interior of that room? It was brick.
Let me
just
make sure.
Big industrial brick painted white.
Let me make sure that I've got the right place.
Watch.
And the right time. Would this be a room where you and I were kind of fighting over who got the main part of the salon and who got the water closet?
Someone had to sleep in the bed and someone had to sleep in the bathtub. And we were both mighty effed up. And
we knew at that point that we had a partnership.
We were just,
you can't do that and not have a partnership.
We were just barely working together and we were so drunk. We had done an appearance at this Holiday Inn bar.
Right.
And they spiffed us a room, one room. Mm-hmm. And we'd been working together a couple of weeks, and we got up there, and we immediately stripped down to just like our underwear, and both go for the bed. It was like a planes, trains, and automobiles moment.
And really, we determined at that point, with our comfort zone, we were not going to share a bed.
We can't.
No
sleep,
matter what,
we can't sleep together. I believe I slept in the bathtub that night.
Yes, and I was very, very grateful. It was some sort of, you know, rock, paper, scissors. I don't know. It was some sort of arrangement like that. We wagered, and I don't know exactly what. Or perhaps maybe in our current state, I said, you know, we'll do shifts. Yeah. I don't remember. But there were many, many hotel rooms over the years. many room service meals, you know, many flights. And, you know, I know we've got time, and I know, but I will say this as a thank you over the years. This is one of my big ones for you. Thank you so much for being an ear for me, because I was a phobic flyer. And because I was a phobic flyer,
look how far we've come, Mike, as Matchbox 2-0 sings.
Yes.
Look at you now flying and everything.
I don't fly as tough as I used to.
I know you don't.
I used to be terrified. As a matter of fact, later on, I will share with you a story that I probably have never shared on the air. I really don't think I have. You know the story, but it's a story of a little boy who was afraid to fly and his friends who tried to calm him down.
Oh.
And how that backfired. But this was, you know, all those trips, especially across the country, where I'd have those little airline bottles and I'd want to chat. And really, as far as I'm concerned, the best way to make a cross-country flight work and rock is to talk. Makes the time fly for me. You, on the other hand, you get on a plane.
Like to sleep.
You want to sleep immediately. I'm jealous. You've always been able to sleep on an airplane. But for all those times, you would humor me. And quite often, I would be in mid-sentence and say, yeah, well, you know, when my father and I were Red Sox fans, Red Sox. And I'd look over and you'd have your mouth open just going... You had nodded out. I don't know, really, the miles we've traveled. Jesus.
I also remember you coming out of the hotel in Dallas.
Ah, yes, I remember that.
That was another. See, Mike and I right now, what we're doing is we're playing.
We're doing this for each other. We're telling stories to a point.
We're playing a very dangerous game of ping pong here.
I had picked up two gifts at this hotel in Dallas, and I had taken the gifts around town to Dallas. And when I came back to the hotel, I still had my gifts. And Alan Goodman and Dom were coming out of the hotel. And I believe that I held the gifts closely.
These gifts, incidentally, were breathing people.
You know, that makes it sound like hookers, and it's not. That's
they
not
weren't.
True.
You
that's
went
not
out
true at all.
And on your own, Mike was single at the time.
Right.
Came back to the hotel with two chicks. I'm standing there with Alan Goodman.
And I'd had a few cocktails, and I'm with these women, and I became very territorial. And didn't I look at both of you in a very gracious way say, they're mine, stay away.
You did.
Yeah.
You did.
Well, I'd worked hard during the course of the evening, and it was time to retire, and I thought it was time to get back to the hotel. I don't know where you two were going.
Gee, where do you think we were going, Mike? What do you think we were going?
I have no idea. You know,
to the drugstore.
We haven't even opened the Alan Goodman box.
I don't know if we have time to open that
box.
I
don't think we do.
I think we've opened that box plenty of times. Listen, we got a break right here. We'll come right back. Thank you so much for listening. This is the last Don and Mike Show. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.